Hope is born. Merry Christmas. My name's Nathaniel. I'm one of the pastors here at Temecula Hills, and I hope you've enjoyed our service as much as I have so far. A huge thanks to Addison, who has been practicing and preparing all these songs, and all those who prepared for today. And we are here tonight to celebrate an event that happened in history just over 2,000 years ago. Maybe not exactly on December 25th, but sometime probably in December of 5 BC or January of 4 BC, there was a child born that would change everything. He was born to a peasant woman and her husband in a small Jewish village. He grew up in another village, and as an adult, he spent 3 years as an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never got married. He never had a family of his own. He never went to college. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did any of the things that usually accompany greatness. And while he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he owned, the clothes from his back. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave of a friend of his. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today, he's the centerpiece of civilization and the leader of progress among humanity. All the armies that have ever marched, of all the navies that have ever sailed, of all the parliaments that have ever sat, and the kings that have ever reigned, none of them put together have affected the life of man on this earth as much as his one solitary life. And I want to share with you briefly tonight the shortest Christmas story we have in the Bible. From the book of John. And John doesn't give us details the other gospels do about a manger and about shepherds and angels. Instead, John spends his time reflecting on why Jesus coming was important. And so for the next few minutes, we're just going to briefly think through what John says. And we're going to be in John chapter 1 if you want to follow along, but I'll be reading it. So John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." How did Jesus make such an impact on this world? Well, simply put, Jesus came as light into a dark world. See, if Jesus came into this world as light, that implies that without him, this world is dark. And each of us know that to be true, not only of this world, but of our own lives. Apart from Christ, each of us find ourselves separated from God, broken, in a mess of our own making, frustrated by our own selfishness and the selfishness of others, without hope and without peace. And we truck along trying to make it through life. But the reality is that there's something wrong at the core of our being. There's darkness at the center because we're separated from God because of our sinful self-centeredness. And we try to cover it up. But there's only one thing that can fill darkness. Let me read verse 9 again. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Light means a couple things here. First, it means that which reveals God. Jesus shows us who God is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews 1:3 says he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus reveals God to us. But light also means something else in the Bible. It means righteousness. And this means that Jesus has made something available to us. Jesus makes it possible for us to be right with God. Not through our good deeds or living a good life, but through what He did on the cross. Jesus became our perfect substitute, dying in our place, paying for our sins, and rising again in victory over sin and death. So Jesus came into this world as light, and the question is, what are you going to do with Him? How will you respond to the light? And in fact, in John's Gospel, that's the very next thing he talks about. He says this, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or by the will of flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. This verse presents two options. You will either receive Him, or you will not receive Him. And how do you receive Him? Verse 12 tells us, by believing in His name. The light has come into this world, but the light must be received by faith. That's what John's telling us. See, Jesus came into this world as light, but in doing so, He is a light that makes a distinction. He shines on everybody and makes a distinction. You will either hate the light and flee from the light and hide from the light because your deeds are evil, or you will run into the light and embrace the light, confessing that you owe all you have to God. And in fact, in John chapter 3, that is exactly what John says. It says this, let me read it to you. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus came as light. And when we receive that light by trusting in Him, it says we get to become children of God. We get forgiveness to be totally cleansed of our sins. We get to have a relationship with God just as a child has with a father. We get to have confidence that God cares for us and that He's with us throughout life, that He's for us and not against us, that He loves us, and we can trust Him even in the times when He disciplines us with loving fatherly discipline. Even when the times it's painful, we can trust Him. And we get the promise that one day our Father will invite us into His eternal kingdom to be with Him forever. Jesus came as light into a dark world. And if you receive Him by putting your trust in Him, you get the privilege of becoming a child of God. Now, the final verse of this passage in John is, I think, probably sums up the Christmas message better than anywhere else in the Bible in one verse. And it tells us that what God would do by bringing light into this world on that Christmas some 2,000 years ago. Let me read it to you. John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Man, we could spend years mining this verse. Jesus is the Word, God's self-revelation. And the Word became flesh. God took on human flesh and became a man, and He dwelt among us. He was one of us. God sent His light into this world, being born as a human baby. And because He's the perfect revelation of God, He shows us who God is, that He is full of grace and truth. Can you imagine if God was full of truth, but not grace? Man, that's a scary thought. That would be a vengeful, wrathful God who doesn't love us. But can you imagine the other way? If he was full of grace and not truth? That's also a scary thought, that a wishy-washy God who never upheld justice. But our glorious God is full of grace and truth. He's so personal that he came to this earth and was born as the human baby in the historical person of Jesus of Nazareth. That's the Christmas message in a nutshell. And that's why Jesus is the centerpiece of civilization. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we'll watch a short video on how God's light came into this world in the midst of our brokenness. And after that video, Addison is going to come up and he's going to sing a couple more songs. And as soon as Addison begins singing, we're going to light our candles as a picture of us receiving the light that Jesus offers us. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you're on either end of the inner rows here, I'm going to ask you to just come up forward and light your candle from these candles when Addison starts singing, and then you can pass the fire down your row until everybody's candles are lit. And if you don't have a candle, you can grab one in the back and right there. There's still some on the table. You can grab them. So we'll be lighting our candles as a means of showing that we are trusting in Jesus. We are receiving the light that he offers, and that we are so grateful for God's self-revelation in the person of Jesus. So we'll do that as Addison starts singing. So let me pray for us, and then we'll watch a short video. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into this world as light, for showing us what you are like, not in a detached way, but in a way that you became human and experienced this life and experienced death and suffering on our behalf so that we could know you. Lord Jesus, we want to tell you we trust you and we receive your light. We receive your gift of righteousness and your gift of yourself, showing us who you are. Thank you that you are full of grace and truth.